One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Tonight we present Chapter 9, Book 54, entitled Lieutenant Jack Barber Leaves for the Pacific. There comes a time in every show when the best way to tell a story is to let the audience behind the scenes, and I think this is one of those times. As those of you who've listened to One Man's Family throughout the years know, the character of Jack Barber is played by Paige Gilman, now Lieutenant Paige Gilman of the United States Army Field Artillery. That is why the character of Jack has been on the show so infrequently the last 2 years, because Lieutenant Gilman has been stationed at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, just as Jack Barber has been at Fort Sill all these months. And now, suddenly, everything has changed. Lieutenant Gilman is being shipped out to the Pacific. He's home on leave this week, and that makes it possible for us to have the character of Jack home with the family one more time before he takes up his military duties on the other side of the world. Lieutenant Gilman was 13 years old when he first came into One Man's Family. That was 13 years ago. And believe me when I say that to us on the show, his going away is the same as sending out our own son and brother. That is the story behind the story of tonight's broadcast. And now a little family confab with Father and Mother Barber and some of their family.
Of course royal desserts taste more delicious. Didn't 8 out of every 10 say so?
Right you are, Grandmother. That's exactly what happened when 1,526 women told why they always want royal. Say, I've got an idea. How about a little survey of our own right here in the Barber family? What's your choice, Grandmother?
Royal desserts, of course.
Grandfather?
Yes, yes. Royal desserts taste more delicious.
Uncle Paul?
Well, I'll take royal.
Mom?
I agree with what 8 out of every 10 said. Royal desserts taste more delicious.
Teddy?
Uh-huh, royal for me, too.
Okay, Margaret, how about it?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 out of every 10 say, royal desserts taste more delicious, royal desserts taste more delicious.
Well, there you are. I choose royal, too, and that makes it unanimous.
Yes, and see if your family doesn't agree to a man that royal desserts taste more delicious. Serve them a royal dessert tomorrow, one of those swell royal puddings, perhaps. Smooth, creamy-textured, flavorful. Or a tangy, tempting royal gelatin dessert. No matter what kind, what flavor, if it's royal, they'll love it. When Lieutenant Jack Barber suddenly dropped in on his family night before last and said he was headed for active duty in the Pacific and that he had just 48 hours leave, his family closed in about him like the arms of a mother about a small child. The desire to do something for him, to be something to him, to help sustain him in preparation for this new adventure, was overwhelming. But as the hours went by and they found him relaxed, cheerful, and confident, then everyone else began to relax and the household was back to normal again. And now it's time for him to go. Almost time. An Army Jeep is to pick him up in front of the house at 4:30. It's 4:10 now. In the last 20 minutes at home, he's trying to have a little private conversation with each member of his family. Just at the moment, he's up in his mother's sewing room with her.
Oh, it's too bad Cliff and Irene couldn't get down from the Sky Ranch today.
Skippy's got the influenza.
Oh, sure. Well, I said goodbye to them last night when they were here. It's okay.
Where's Betty?
She's in the nursery prettying up the three daughters. She says she wants the last glimpse of my family to be something extra special.
Betty's a good wife, Jack.
Yeah.
A devoted wife and a good daughter-in-law.
It's working out all right having her and the children here with you and Dad?
It'd be a very lonesome house without her.
I'm glad you feel that way. Mom, about my going out to the Pacific.
Yes, Jack?
What's that you're doing?
Just a little needlework.
What you used to call fancy work?
Yes.
Well, what I started to say is, you can be very comfortable about it because it's the thing I want to do most.
Yes, I know.
I'm going out to do something I know how to do, and I'm confident I can do it well. It's cost the government between $20,000 and $25,000 to educate me to do this job. Out of sheer desire to prove that I'm now capable of functioning as I've been trained, I want to go.
Yes, my dear?
Maybe you think it's reckless and unthinking to look at it that way. Maybe you think I'm not considering Betty and the children enough.
No, Jack, I don't think that.
Oh, I rather expected that you would.
No, son. Because if you didn't feel the way you do, who would there be to fight the war? If young men your age didn't have that outlook, this nation would be in a sorry fix today.
Mom, you're amazing.
Am I?
You know what's funny? You were the one I rather dreaded to talk with alone.
I understand, my dear. Mother's getting old. Mother hasn't very good control of her emotions anymore. Mother will cling to me and cry, and I won't be able to stand it.
Oh, you're wonderful, Mom.
You'll be gone a year, 2 years, maybe even 3 years.
Yes.
Your father and I won't be getting any younger.
But you'll be here when I get back.
I hope so.
You will, all of you. I want everything just as it is when I come back.
We'll try to keep it that way. Now, hadn't you better go talk to your father? See what time it is.
Yeah, I suspect I had. Don't get up. Just put your face up here. Oh, Mother. Mother, you mustn't.
Well, there you are.
Hello, Hazel.
I was just coming upstairs to find you. Where's Mother?
She went to her room.
You said goodbye to her?
Yeah. Here, let's sit down here on the steps for a minute.
Have you time?
Sure. I was going down to see Dad in the library, but I'd rather talk to you first. Sit down.
A little confidential chat on the stair landing, huh?
Yeah. You know, Hazel, it's queer, but it seems like I want to talk about some different phase of my life with each member of the family. What comes into my mind now isn't anything like what I said to Mom.
Yes, I understand that.
I keep thinking of when I was a kid sitting here with you. I remember how I used to get in your hair and Claudia's whenever you had boys around. I must have been obnoxious as all get out.
Well, you had your moments, I'll give you that.
I remember how you married Bill Herbert and how Nikki Lacey followed Claudia back here from England and how Dad disliked him at first.
Oh, but he got to like Nikki among his favorite people.
Sure. Those wonderful summers up at the Sky Ranch. You're all going up again this summer, aren't you?
It looks like it.
Yeah. You think where I'll be.
Yes, I am.
China, India, Burma, Manchuria. Who knows?
We'll be thinking a great deal about you all the months you're away.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think I'll be doing?
Jack.
Yeah?
You'll keep the letters coming, won't you?
Hey, now, I've done pretty good at Fort Sill.
Yes, but this is going to be different. Keep them coming twice a week, especially for Betty and Mother.
Well, yeah, but you'll have to remember the mail facilities out there.
Oh, yes, but you do your part, and we'll do ours.
It's a deal.
Jack, do you remember the time you rented a set of full tails about 10 times too big for you and went to pay a call on your heart's desire?
Oh, boy, I was 13.
And she slammed the door in your face. She thought you were clowning.
Busted my heart wide open. Hey, you know something?
What?
Put things like that in your letters. They help.
Recollections of our family life?
Yeah. Things like that in a letter, they get a fellow's train of thoughts to working. Take his mind off what's happening at the moment.
It's a good idea. I'll do it.
Well, time's getting short.
Of course it is. I kept you longer than I meant.
Oh, no. Just that I still got to see Dad and Paul and Teddy and want to get back up to Betty before the Jeep gives me the beep-beep.
Naturally.
Here, give me a hand.
Oh, you go ahead. I'll go up and talk to Mother a little.
Hey, how about a kiss?
Of course. A girl's very proud and happy to have a brother like you, Jack, dear.
See you after Tokyo.
Yeah. Go on now.
Yeah.
After Tokyo.
Huh? Is that you, Jack?
Yeah, I've just been saying goodbye to Mom and Hazel.
So soon?
Yep. They'll be dropping by for me in about 15 minutes.
So seldom you're with us, so soon you'll go.
Dad, you know I'm going to get a great pleasure out of 2 mental pictures of you.
Huh?
One of them sitting here in that big chair before the fire.
Yeah.
The others of you out in the garden on your knees.
Yeah. Typical, I expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Nothing.
No.
Well, what's the matter here, anyway? The minutes are slipping by, and we're not saying anything to each other.
Funny, too, because I was just full of things I wanted to talk to you about. Now I can't remember any of them.
Stage fright. That's what's the matter with us. Stage fright. Our moment is here, and we're tongue-tied.
Well, it is a pretty big thing to try to put into words all the love and affection and appreciation a son has for his father.
Huh? You feel that way?
Dad, I never appreciated the kind of a home you created for us here in Seacliff until I got out into the Army and had a look at some of the rest of the world.
I like hearing you say that, Jack. I'll remember those words and keep them with me.
Well, they're true words.
Well, then, I don't need to convert you to the idea that the family is the keystone to good government. Well,
not me.
You've got 10 minutes more in our midst, and we're talking social problems. Well, what's got into me, anyway?
Well, maybe it's hard for us to say what's inside us. Maybe we're just talking around the bush because the real things just won't come out.
Yeah. Before you came in here, I was sitting here thinking about you, trying to make out what there was in your life which had brought you to this circumstance.
What circumstances have arranged it so that I'm about to jump off the Western Hemisphere and land on a battlefront some 9 or 10,000 miles from here? I don't know, Dad.
You weren't such an exceptional baby.
Hey.
No, you weren't. You gurgled and you hiccuped and you cried your full share. I'm sure there wasn't anything in your infancy which pointed out that you were to become a lieutenant in the field artillery.
I wouldn't know.
And in your boyhood and adolescence, I don't recall anything. Oh, yes, the policeman on the block brought you home by the ear a couple of times for pranks, but he did the same to the other boys. There was nothing in the little boy who said his prayers or the adolescent who suffered so much from calf love to indicate that you were going to grow into a man of war.
In fact, if any boy was taught peace at any price, it was me. When Paul came back from the last war with a bad leg and shell shock, the very word war was taboo in this house.
And I'm sure there was nothing in your study of law at Stanford, nor in your marriage and production of 3 daughters, which points you out as a belligerent fellow.
Well, it just goes to show, Dad. You can raise a man to peace and goodwill, but if you push him around enough, he's still going to develop into a fighter.
Yeah. I'm going to say goodbye to you here in the house. I don't want to see you drive away.
Yeah, nobody's going out.
I just can't bear to see people get into automobiles and drive out of my life. Something tears loose inside of me every time it happens.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think I'll get up. Oh, I see Margaret outside. I think I'll go down in the garden with her until you're gone.
Sure, if you want to.
If I put my arm around you, if I touch you.
Okay, Dan. I understand.
God bless you, boy. God bless you.
You too, Dan. Well, that's life as she's lived today, I guess.
Hey, you in here by yourself?
Oh, no, Teddy.
I thought you were here with Father Barber.
Oh, he just said goodbye. He's gone down into the garden.
Oh. I was going to tiptoe by and not bother, and then I saw you standing here alone.
You know something, Katie?
What?
You've got to be one of the best doggone-looking girls I know.
Oh.
You think I'm kidding? I mean it. I'll bet you're number one priority with the boys in the hospital, even in white stockings.
So the Army's giving you a way with the girls, is that it?
I've always had a way with the one girl I care about.
Betty?
Who else?
She said she wasn't going outside to see you leave.
No, I'm going to say goodbye to her upstairs in her room. That's the easiest and the best. Saving her for last.
Naturally.
Well, Teddy, what do you ever hear of Wayne Grubb and Tracy Baker?
Well, we knew that Tracy was flying a P-38 and was shot down in the African campaign. He was in the hospital for a little, and then he went to flying a bomber over Germany.
Not a scratch, huh?
Mm-mm. And the last letter said he was being transferred to the Pacific Theater.
Yeah, Tracy turned out to be quite a lad. Is he still in love with you?
Oh, we write regularly, but they aren't those kind of letters.
And Wayne Grubb?
Wayne's kind of gone out of my life. Oh, I hear maybe once every 3 months. He's in supply. The last letter said he might get to Manila.
Hmm. I know I'd see him over there.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Why do you say it like that?
I don't know. I was just thinking. I suppose they wouldn't be taking you if they didn't need you.
I doubt it. Why?
I guess I keep thinking of things from a nurse's point of view.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a wonderful physique. You've got a lot to live for when you come back.
In other words, take care of myself?
It's silly because, like everyone else, you'll do what's required of you. But don't be careless. You'd be surprised what percentage of soldiers are in that hospital out there because they didn't do all they could to protect themselves.
Well, I've been trained for that.
And so were they. But some of them relaxed or forgot or just didn't give a hoot. Look at them now. And it wasn't necessary at all.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean when I say take care of yourself. Go out and give them all you've got, but play them close to your chest.
And this is the girl who was running around in pigtails 5 or 6 years ago.
You grow up fast in this day and age.
Yeah.
I'm on my way to the hospital now. I mustn't be late.
Okay, I'll go to the front door with you.
All right. It's hard to realize this is happening to me.
I guess every man's called overseas has said the same thing.
Well, see you when it's over.
Hey, do I have to ask for kisses around here?
I was hoping to get away fast. I'm not used to kissing the boys goodbye. Here. Now let me go.
Yeah. See you when it's over. See you when it's over.
Oh, Jack.
Hello, Paul. I thought you were probably up in your studio.
No, I've been waiting for you in the living room.
You know, this is the queerest experience of all of it. Trying to square accounts with everyone before I have to go.
Hmm. You having much success?
No.
I thought so.
I don't know what's the matter. I don't seem to be able to say anything important. Everything's trivial. So much that ought to be said. So much I'd like Mom and Dad and all of you to know before I go. And I haven't said any of it.
Of course.
You really aren't surprised?
How can a man put into words what he feels towards those who created him and molded him and watched over him? He can't. Any more than the human creature can express himself eloquently to his God. What do people do when they want to thank their God or beseech his help? They sing homely, conventional hymns. They say simple, oft-repeated prayers. They get down on their knees and bow their heads in simple supplication. They give money to charity. All the simple, homely, everyday words and gestures that have been said and done since the beginning of time. Do you think these things are the actual relationship between man and his maker? Not at all. They're only symbols. Man is too inarticulate to express the deep things of his mind and emotion. There just aren't words for them.
But I flounder so.
Do you doubt that God doesn't know our intent when we kneel? Of course not. And in just the same way Dad and Mom know the feeling in your heart when you look into their faces and touch their hands.
When I'm not falling down?
Not at all.
I've never heard you talk of God before, Paul.
I'm doing it purposely. When a man's going out where you may be going, God's a mighty important part in your life. A lot of the men don't take him with them, but those who do are comforted the most at difficult times.
I don't know whether I can or not.
It's not something to worry about. I just thought you'd like to know that when I was in France in the First World War, I found there were times when I could talk to God, when I couldn't talk with anyone else. I don't know who or what God is any more than you do. And I'm afraid my conception of him is pretty unorthodox and unconventional. I can't go with you where you're going, and I just thought I'd like to give you something to think about if you ever get in a tight place.
Yeah. Thanks.
One other thing. Don't worry about Betty and the children. They'll get attention from all of us.
Oh, I know that. There's something else, though.
Well, let's have it.
It's about myself.
Oh?
Paul, you went through the last war. You must have some way of measuring a man. Do you think I can take care of the job ahead of me?
You'll have to find that answer inside yourself when the time comes.
It's not something you can help me with?
I will say this, that I've never known a good soldier yet who wasn't more afraid of being afraid than he was of actual combat.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that a lot. I mean, both sessions. And it's even had some official recognition, but I have a queer kind of sensation of being inadequate. Wondering if my superior officers know my weaknesses. Afraid I'll be asked to do the one thing I won't be able to do.
What one thing?
I don't know. I'm sure there's something.
You've got a large, oversized dose of stage fright.
Dad said he and I had stage fright was the reason we couldn't talk to each other.
It's because you're still 10,000 miles from action. Once you get your feet on the ground and begin going through all the routine you've acquainted yourself with in training camps and all, that doubt and wonder will slip away.
You know, Paul, it just came to me. It's pretty doggone interesting, isn't it? Soldier of 1918 talking to a soldier of 1945, and us being brothers.
The old and the new, huh? Oh, by the way, it's 25 after 4.
Oh, hey.
It's only going to give you 5 minutes with Betty.
Well, we decided we didn't want too long and just make it harder. That's why I saved Betty for last, so I could run down and get in the Jeep and be gone the minute it arrived. You'll excuse me now?
If you're going to dash out that fast, I'd better say goodbye now.
Yeah, I wish you would. No last-minute stuff.
Well, try to remember some of the things I've tried to say to you. And remember there's safety and security waiting for you when you come back to us. And above all, don't worry about Betty.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, goodbye.
Bye, Paul.
Well, go on. Go on. Betty's waiting.
Yeah, you bet. See you when it's all over.
Hello?
It's me, Betty.
Is it time? Is it time yet?
Oh, Betty, you're beautiful.
You like it?
I didn't know you had a dress like that. What have you done to your hair?
Well, I dolled the infant daughters all up, and then I thought maybe you'd like to see me looking beautiful, too.
Just a minute while I close the door. Now, come here and get yourself kissed.
Oh, yes.
There.
It's almost time now, isn't it?
Almost.
Have you said goodbye to everyone else?
Yeah. Saved you for dessert.
I'm afraid your daughters are all asleep. Here they are over here.
Maybe it's better that way.
Maybe I should wake Elizabeth Sharon Ann anyway.
Oh, no, don't. All washed and combed and curled. The darling. You know something, Ben?
What?
We're a pretty lucky couple.
Oh, yes.
Just shot full of luck, us Jack Barbers.
Jack, we shouldn't brag about it.
Why not? Isn't every man has the most beautiful wife in the world, plus the three most beautiful daughters?
But you're leaving us, I...
Just for a little. I'll be back in no time at all. Look, already men are coming home for more. Been out fighting, and now their time is up, and they're coming home.
I wish you were coming home instead of just going out.
But think of the interesting letters I'm going to send you from all the interesting places.
Is that going to be as good as somebody to lie close to? Somebody to put his arm around me? Is that as good?
Betty, my darling, we had it all figured out, remember? No last minute being sorry for ourselves.
But keep your arm around me. You can do that till it's time.
Of course I can.
Would Jack make it all happen quickly? Make it so that you can come back for always, and I can feel complete and whole again. Not just half a thing getting along.
As quickly as I can, Betty.
And then we'll live like a real American family should live again. I'll cook your breakfast in the morning, and you'll read the paper and go down to your law office, and I'll have the whole day to teach our children our way of life and have the house ready for your homecoming. And after dinner, we can be alone to plan our plans or go over to Mother and Father Barber's or go to a show. Everything will be so safe and sure and wonderful again.
It will, won't it?
Make it happen, Jack. Make it come true.
That's my going away promise to you.
It is?
To come back and fit into our way of life. That's my promise.
Oh, yes.
Jack?
Yes, Hazel?
The Jeep's down in front.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Oh, no, Jack.
Betty, you mustn't hang on to me. You mustn't make it so hard.
Not this time, Jack. Don't go this time.
Darling, they're waiting. Let me go quickly the way I wanted to. That's it. Goodbye, darling. Please don't look that way. Just say goodbye.
Of course. Goodbye, darling. I wish I'd been braver. I wish I'd been braver.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. 8 out of every 10 say Royal Desserts taste more delicious. Yes, Royal Desserts taste more delicious. Yes, ma'am, when 1,526 Royal Desserts users told why they want Royal every time, 8 out of every 10 said Royal Desserts taste more delicious. Try one and see. Ask your grocer for orange Royal gelatin tomorrow. Its tangy, fruity flavor makes you think of big golden oranges heavy with juice, and it's sweetened just right. Takes none of your precious sugar. Yes, Royal gelatin desserts are different. They're flavor-sealed, richer, tangier. Always get Royal gelatin desserts and Royal puddings, too. Pick any flavor your grocer has. If it's Royal, it's a real treat. You just heard Chapter 9, Book 54 of One Man's Family, written and produced by Carlton E. Morse for the makers of Royal Desserts and Tenderleaf Tea. Chapter 10, entitled, What Took Paul to Washington, will come to you next week at this same time. It's iced tea time, and that means that the flavor of your tea is doubly important, because flavor is the making of delicious iced tea, richer flavor and more of it. So don't compromise with anything less. Get famous for flavor Tenderleaf Tea, the finer blend that transforms iced tea from a beverage into an event. Every glass, every sip is a testimonial to your judgment in making this flavor choice, a summer-long tribute to your taste, a daily source of gratification. Because the melting ice dilutes the tea, of course, and there's only one way to combat it. That is to have plenty of flavor to begin with. Plenty of the kind of flavor that brings Tenderleaf Tea its fame. Stock up for warm weather. Put in a supply. Make this year's iced tea season the best one so far, with more refreshing, more satisfying Tenderleaf iced tea, with meals and between. Ask your grocer for Tenderleaf brand tea, the 4-ounce size. One Man's Family comes to you from California.
This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.